As you can see from my opening slide, what I'd like to talk about is metadata, making metadata work for you, or why metadata means better data. I actually have a badge that says that, which I should have worn. I forgot to bring it in today. This is the sort of hijinks that us archives records people get up to. But it's certainly, and this has been touched on by all the speakers today, a fundamental part of meeting the objectives under the new Government Information Public Access Act and the government's objectives for more open and reusable information. So what I propose to cover, why metadata, sort of expanding on the point that I just made, how it can work for you to meet the objectives of GIPA and to maximise the value of your information, and then I'll lead into what the specific requirements are for digital records under the Standard on Digital Record Keeping in relation to metadata. And finally, some tips on how to get there, or some ideas for deploying better and more effective metadata in your organisation. Unlike many of the documents and other materials that exist in the state archives and in the older paper collections in your organisations, digital information really relies on metadata to tell us an awful lot about it. You can pick up a document such as a letter and see at a glance that it's an authoritative communication from the organisation that has its details on the header, that it's signed, so there's a certain authenticity to it. But in many cases, digital information doesn't have that inherent at-a-glance identifiability or reliability that you can get from a document or a piece of paper. So it does rely on metadata for all of those sorts of purposes. It's the lifeblood of record keeping and business systems. It enables us to find information, to use information, to know who created information, and to activate business processes such as workflows. Without metadata, you can't do an awful lot of things. For example, you can't trust that a record is authentic. That's a seal. It looks a bit like a piece of toast or something, but it's actually a seal, the great seal of the Marian Order from the 18th century. The seal is embossed on the document issued by General Captain, Watiki, on July 28, 1752, authorising the establishment of the Marian Foundation in Portugal. Metadata can perform a similar function to the seals and other authentication mechanisms of old by showing that a record is what it purports to be, that it has not been tampered with. It can show who created, accessed and disposed of the record, and that those people were authorised to do so. All things that support a record's authenticity. Without decent metadata, you can't make connections with other information. Record-keeping metadata can be used to show or create relationships between records, so all documents relating to a particular matter, which might have a common reference number or identifier, a unique identifier for a person, such as a client, which allows you to bring together all the information relating to that individual. Metadata also helps you to know the provenance of information, and this is an example where metadata is used to record the provenance of this cow. So rather than being metadata about a document or information, this is metadata about a cow, which shows where that cow came from originally, its genealogy and so on. This sort of metadata was introduced as part of anti-BSE or mad cow disease measures in the UK. Especially in a Web 2, moving into Web 3 world, where the use and reuse of data is becoming increasingly important, the idea of provenance of data and provenance of digital information is also increasingly important, because people who are reusing that information want to know where it came from. What's the background to this information? Was it created by an authoritative source? So that's another important purpose for metadata. And of course, without record keeping metadata, it's very difficult to get rid of stuff. And despite the claims of those who say storage is cheap, we'll buy another server, we will have to get rid of stuff eventually. It can't simply grow like Topsy, you know, forever. And most of us are familiar with the creation of massive quantities of digital information in our organisations, on network drives, in email inboxes, on websites and so on. And it really is a big problem. And I know, talking to ICT professionals as well, that they are now, I think we're reaching a sort of tipping point where they are actually realising that this is a big and unwieldy problem. Without adequate metadata, you can't delete digital records with the confidence of knowing that you are in fact able to do so lawfully. So having that metadata set up the right way in the first place will pay dividends down the track when it comes to maintaining networks and migrating systems where perhaps you don't need to migrate all that information forward. And of course, metadata helps us to find stuff. Without knowing what records you have and what business they relate to, finding them is like finding the proverbial needle in the haystack, particularly where you need to be sure that you've found the authoritative records and the full extent of the records that you hold, perhaps where you're responding to a GIPR inquiry. And that leads me fairly neatly into the relationship with GIPR. And, of course, you heard all about it this morning from Maureen. One of the things that she touched on is the fact that agencies, public offices, have certain responsibilities in terms of getting ready for the introduction of the Act. And this is taken from the advice to agencies, which is on the Information Commissioner website. And it says, to prepare, principal officers can assess the ability of their agency's information systems to handle the routine publication of open access information, to identify and retrieve requested information, and to fulfil reporting requirements of the GIPR Act. Where systems are not adequate, early action will be required to make necessary changes. So there are a few things that systems, ideally in an automated fashion, down the track, if not immediately, need to be able to do: to routinely publish information, to identify and retrieve information when it's required, and to report about information. And all of those things require that that information is tagged with basic and adequate metadata. And as was described by Kate and Helen, the government, at the same time as the GIPR introduction, has these objectives around maximising the value of the information that we all hold. And that includes the records that we collect and generate and keep every day. We all spend a lot of money creating that information and maintaining it. It is an asset of our organisations. And information, including records, that is well managed using metadata is more contextual, so its purpose and provenance are known. It's more exportable if we do, in fact, have to export it for others to use, whether it's as a normal part of business or in the event of administrative change, where, in fact, a chunk of our organisation's functions is going elsewhere. It's more mashable, the catchphrase of the day, to allow for innovation and better government. So we can reuse the information that we hold in new and creative ways to help the community and the government achieve new and important objectives. So that's, I suppose, all the sort of reasons why metadata is great stuff. And I'm here then, I suppose, to sort of explain how the standard on digital record keeping, which was issued last year and then also promoted earlier this year under a Premier's memorandum, will guide you in improving record keeping and business systems in such a way that you can not only meet your own business objectives but support the objectives under GIPR and open government information. So broadly speaking, the standard has three main functions. It requires that agencies, first of all, define digital records that they will keep. Secondly, it establishes minimum requirements for the systems that are used to keep records. And thirdly, it defines the minimum metadata requirements for those systems. The minimum, which means, of course, each organisation can build on that with business-specific metadata that might better meet their needs. The metadata requirements in the standard are in two forms. One of them is what we call point of capture metadata. And so essentially this is the kind of metadata that would be either generated or manually entered. Hopefully not too much of that, because as we know, users are not that fond of manually entering metadata into record keeping systems. When a record is registered into a system. And I should just point out, actually, when the standard talks about the systems used to keep records, this encompasses the sort of broad church of record-keeping systems. Your typical EDRMS-style record system, or indeed a business system operating with an EDRMS, or a business system that can meet the minimum requirements of the standard on its own and keep records within the system. So we're not just talking about a trim or an objective or something. It's all of those different types of setups, all of which can potentially comply with the standard. So the point of capture metadata, as you can see, it's listed up there. Unique identifier, title, date of creation, who or what created the record, the business functional process it relates to, creating application, and also a record type, which indicates in perhaps a sort of business sense what form that record is. Is it a letter, an email, a fax, or it might be something more specifically business related. Is it a survey report? Is it some sort of geospatial capture of a particular area? And this information can be applied and can be implemented at various levels of what we call aggregation in metadata speak. So we're not suggesting that every time a piece of information is captured into a record system, someone has to sit down and laboriously write all of this out. Much of it might be captured at a higher level of aggregation and inherited by all the records within that grouping, whether it's a file in the old speak or another sort of grouping of records, or indeed a whole system where they're all created by the same application, for example. They would all inherit that particular piece of metadata at that broad level. And the other minimum requirements for record-keeping metadata from the standard are what we call process metadata. And this is the stuff which really supports particularly authenticity of records. It shows you what has happened to records over time. Interestingly, this is the sort of metadata that often current business systems really fall down in. Many business systems are okay at the sort of point of capture, some profiling type metadata, what something is, the date it was created, etc. But sometimes keeping a sort of an overtime audit trail that is fixed for that record can be a bit more challenging. So the processes that the standard at the minimum requires recorded are the date that the record was registered into the system, the application or change of access rules, and I should say, sorry, the registration and application and change of access rules, and indeed all of those processes have to have the date and the person or thing that did that process. And then the last three, transfer of control, destruction and migration, there are a couple of additional pieces of metadata where, for example, there's a need to record the authority number from a general or functional disposal authority. And again, this is metadata that can be applied at an aggregate level, at a group of records that might be being sentenced according to a particular disposal class. And you can imagine in some business systems, for example, that do sort of high volume transactional stuff, if a whole group of records is being disposed of from that system that all relate to a particular business area, that would be an example where that sort of disposal authorization metadata was applied at a very high level across the whole system. So that's a sort of gallop through the metadata requirements of the standard on digital record keeping. What I wanted to do was just to briefly touch on some tips, I suppose, some metadata implementation guidance, because we recognise this is for many people a challenging area, but I think with using the minimum requirements from this standard as a basic starting point, it is something that can be built up and developed over time. And in fact, many of you have systems with this kind of metadata in it already. So it's really more a matter of working out where it is, what it's called, what is it labelled in the systems that you're using. And in fact, is that bit of metadata actually working to the best advantage for you? Do users know that they can search on that particular field for the records in that system? Or is it something that isn't activated on most people's screens, for example? The standard does suggest or require that mappings are done to the minimum requirements of the standard from your official record keeping systems, and there's a compliance timetable associated with the standard which talks about mappings being in place for new systems. So anything that you're developing now, you should certainly map to the requirements of the standard just to confirm that the new system has all the necessary metadata, and for existing systems by 2012. And we also in the compliance timetable recommend a focus on high risk business areas first. So areas of your business where you have a lot of contact with the public, where people's rights and entitlements are affected, where there's a high level of government investment, or perhaps it's a very significant project to government. We have a set of criteria for working out which are the higher risk areas of business in our short guide to implementing the standard on digital record keeping, which is available on our website. And there's also some sample mappings which give you an idea of what a mapping might look like, and it essentially breaks down the metadata that I just went through and gives you, you know, the sort of level of detail that you would expect to find so that you actually can say, well, okay, unique identifier for this particular system is satisfied with this field or element in our particular implementation. And I should sort of stress that the mappings aren't just, well, state record says we have to do it, so we're doing it. But we really want them to be a really useful piece of information for you to keep now and also down the track, particularly when it comes to migration of systems, whether it's an EDRMS or a business system, when it comes time to migrate, to know that you are actually capturing and moving forward the minimum required metadata with the records, and that you've got that documentation to show where and what it is, particularly also where personnel change and sometimes the people who set up the system are no longer around to ask. Where a mapping shows a gap, perhaps, in the metadata that your systems are keeping, then it's necessary to fill the gap, ideally with automation. I mean, with all metadata, the best option is certainly to automate its capture. So, for example, inheriting a date from a business application rather than asking somebody to complete it. Perhaps inheriting, using the aggregation model to inherit the information about the function or the business process that the record relates to from a higher file level, for example, down to the individual components of that grouping. Or by a business rule where staff are required to follow, for example, some sort of titling conventions when registering records would be an example of that. We also like to tell people to remember that metadata, when it's deployed effectively, can be so powerful that you can actually search and retrieve and manage information based on well set up metadata. But when there's a whole lot of bits of metadata stuck into a notes field, that can be a problem. And so using well labelled and distinct pieces of metadata rather than putting a whole lot of really valuable information into, say, the dreaded notes field is certainly the way to go. And we also suggest considering the use of encoding schemes wherever possible. And what I mean by that is, essentially, it's like a drop-down list. That's one example of how you might implement an encoding scheme, to give people a range of options for metadata where they are required to enter them. So you minimise the free text with its possibility of incorrect or low quality data, and you really sort of guide people towards choosing from a range of options. So for example, if there is a record that has to be related in some way to a geographical place, using a set of drop downs with a set of values that people can choose from rather than asking them to sort of enter whatever their perception of that place might be, which might be, you know, varied between different people. So what tools are there to assist you in deploying high quality and useful metadata? Well, the standard which I've just gone through, its requirements, and I should mention also the I briefly touched on the short guide to implementing the standard on digital record keeping, and we also are just in the process of developing a checklist for assessing business systems against the standard. That's out for consultation with a group of our advisory committee, so hopefully by the end of the year that will be out. And as you would know, we've had a full-scale metadata standard in place for some years now. I think the original iteration of it was in about 2000 in our KMS1. And that sets out metadata elements and their relationships and possible encoding schemes for the full range of metadata. So the standard is the bare minimum, basic requirements, and NRKMS sets out a much more detailed specification for metadata about records, about agents, which might be the people that create records or use records, or the work groups or organisations that are responsible for records, and also functions. So business functions, activities, transactions. The scheme allows you to potentially keep and record metadata on all of those things, which ultimately lends itself to more automation and high data quality. We are in the process of working with other government jurisdictions on a revised record-keeping metadata set, which is very similar to NRKMS1. It extends it out to 5 entities, so mandate and relationship also get their own metadata elements under the new scheme, and working towards having a common metadata set across all government jurisdictions in Australia and New Zealand. So that'll be fantastic because it'll allow vendors to have one place they can go to work out what government expects in terms of metadata functionality in their systems. And of course, because it is a 5-entity model and for the uninitiated can look rather horrifying, there'll be implementation guidance coming out as well. And the Standards Australia Committee that's working on the metadata set has that on their work plan once the metadata set itself has been issued. So stay tuned. We're hoping early in 2010 for the metadata set. And if there isn't the implementation guidance coming out from Standards Australia soon after that, we'll certainly be looking at what we can offer in the way of case studies and tips and examples on our website for metadata implementation. And that brings me to the places that you can go for all of those bits of information, except for the draft Australian standard, but we'll certainly be letting you know via the website and our usual methods. The Futureproof blog, which as many of you would know is our place for specific digital record keeping advice and information, and we post to that regularly with sort of up-to-date information and advice, and we invite comment and certainly encourage you to post on that blog as well. And we also have a Twitter account, and I'd sort of reiterate what Kate said earlier about their Twitter account, that any important advice or information that you need to know from state records you'll get via the normal channels. So if you don't have access to Twitter, never fear, you're not missing out on something that you need to know about. Okay, so that's the end of my presentation.